All right, Psalm 31 is where we're at tonight. Psalm 31. Man, all that singing, I feel like I'm yelling at y'all now. Maybe. Psalm 31. The theme of this psalm, I'll read the verse to you. It's the very end of the psalm. And the Lord is likened to a rock. David likens him to the rock, his rock particularly. And let's just read verse 24 to get the theme of this thing. He says, "Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart, all ye that hope in the Lord." Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart, all ye that hope in the Lord. Back over there in verse 3, look in verse 3, he says, "For thou art my rock and my fortress. Therefore, for thy name's sake, lead me and guide me." All right, we're going to take that theme in verse 24 about hoping and trusting in the Lord, and we're going to take the illustration that David makes of the Lord as the rock, and we're going to go through this psalm, and I'm going to make three major divisions here in the psalm, and I'll just give you the three. All right, verses 1 through 8, he deals with the strength of the rock and all the different characteristics that a rock, the strength of that rock, particularly the Lord Jesus Christ, and the strength of that rock. The second part, verses 9 through 21, he deals with treasure that can be found in the rock. You know, you think about mining and the precious metals and things that are pulled out of rock. The same way Jesus Christ is the rock, that illustrates not only his strength, but also illustrates the value that can be found in the rock. And then lastly, in verses 23 and 24, there's an encouragement to take hold on the rock. I mean, the rock is good, it's strong, it is valuable, there's treasure inside of it, but if it's not your rock, and if it's not something you take hold of, then it doesn't really make any difference that, to you anyway, it's not going to make any difference that he is strong and that he is valuable. So those things, those are the divisions, and we'll just go through these, and we'll pray first, but talk about the Lord as the rock. The Lord is the rock. Father, thank you. Lord, thank you for a good day of getting Bibles and tracts out, Lord, for some revisits that can be done this week. Father, I pray that you continue to work in the hearts and the minds of folks that heard the gospel today, and folks that need prayer, folks just going through tough times, and Lord, that we could somehow point them in the direction of Jesus Christ and minister to them. I pray that you'd keep those doors open. I pray that you'd just give us continued opportunities to do this work. And Lord, raise up willing-hearted folks. And I pray your folks would be willing-hearted, even if it's not on Sunday, but just during the week, to be ambassadors for you and to be good testimonies for you and where they're working and what they're doing and the folks are running into. Now, Lord, I pray tonight that you'd fill me with your Holy Spirit to preach tonight, to say what you once said, and I pray that, Lord, we would get what we need from you tonight. And I pray you bless each soul for being here, and thank you for everybody that's here, and thank you for your words, and I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. I thought about, you know, going through these psalms, it can be difficult when you got... I think it can. I mean, when you got so many verses to deal with, I thought about just picking one verse and just preaching off one verse, and, you know, how do you cover these things? But trying to go through the Bible and cover all the verses in the Bible and at least give you an overview so you understand what's in your Bible and understand what is being said. And so that's the way we're doing it until we run into a complication. Can't do it that way. When we get to like Psalm 119 or something, that'll take a while. Won't be able to do that in one night. But in this one, you've got those three divisions that I told you about. You've got, in the first few verses, you've got the strength of the rock and all of these descriptions of how a rock is strong, how a rock is something you can rely on. And then you've got in verses 9 through 21, you've got treasure. And then in verses 23 and 24, you've got an application on what you're supposed to do with the rock. And so let's cover it that way tonight and talk about the Lord as the rock. David is not the first, before I read these, David's not the first to illustrate the Lord as a rock. I'll ask you guys, do you remember the first time the Lord is illustrated as a rock in the Bible? Anybody remember, sister? That's a little bit later on, but that's good, because that's another time that he's illustrated as a rock. He's talking about Daniel, when the rock comes down and destroys the image that Nebuchadnezzar dreamed about. That rock destroys the image. And Daniel interpreted that dream, and that was another case where the Lord is like a rock. Go ahead, Alan. Yeah, Deuteronomy, Moses, and God as the rock in the wilderness. And so Moses talked about the Lord as the rock. David continues talking about the Lord as the rock. And Daniel, like sister said there, talked about the Lord as the rock, or it was given in a dream to Nebuchadnezzar. So it is a theme throughout the Bible. It's a type throughout the Bible. And it's a good type. It's a real good type. So Psalm 31, verse 1. It says, "In thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be ashamed. Deliver me in thy righteousness." All right, the first thing about a rock, you talk about the rock being strong. Strength is ability. It's the ability to do something or accomplish something. And the first thing about this rock is believable. Believable. It says, "In thee, O Lord, do I put my trust." Right? The Lord is someone you can put your trust in. He says, "Let me never be ashamed. Deliver me in thy righteousness." All right. So the Lord is, as far as a rock is concerned, he is someone who can be relied on. He is trustworthy. Someone you can put your whole force upon. Someone you can wholly give yourself to, and you won't be discouraged. You won't be let down. It won't be a disappointment. And so the rock is strong in the fact that it's believable. Now here's the counter to that. He says over there, Moses said it in Deuteronomy. He says, "For their rock is not as our rock." And there's some things about the way the world, the flesh, the devil, using lies and deceit and things that may appear to be something that they're not believable, is what it amounts to. You start putting your weight on this thing and you find out it's not going to hold you up. It's vanity. It doesn't hold you like Jesus Christ holds you. There's nothing there. It is the pleasure of sin for a season, and it doesn't yield the things that it promises to yield. It doesn't offer the things that it doesn't pan out the way you thought it would. All right, so first thing about this rock, it is believable. Second thing about it is in verse 2. And I'm going to go through these quick because we've got 24 verses, and I don't know if we'll hit every single verse, but we're going to try to deal with all of them as much as we can. Bow down, he says, verse 2, "Bow down thine ear to me, deliver me speedily, be thou my strong rock for a house of defense to save me." All right, not only is the rock strong in the fact that the Lord is believable, the Lord is also impenetrable. He's a defense. So David's praying to the Lord, and he says, and he describes the Lord as someone who is strong, someone who is impenetrable, someone who the enemies don't get to, and they can't get to. They can't get in. And so he is impenetrable. He says, "Be thou my strong rock for a house of defense to save me." So the rock is impenetrable. This is another facet of the strength of the rock. Thirdly, verse 3, the rock is a highly visible landmark. He says, "For thou art my rock and my fortress, therefore for thy name's sake, lead me and guide me." Lead me and guide me. So he is the, as a rock, I think of a rock as like a landmark. Where think about the Rock of Gibraltar or the Grand Canyon. You know, people go to the Grand Canyon to look at the Grand Canyon, see the big spectacle the thing is and how massive it is. It is like a landmark. And so Jesus Christ as the rock is a landmark. He is someone who can lead and guide, someone you can base all the direction off of. You know, here's the rock over here. This is we're going north, we're going east, we're going west. All based on the rock here. He is a visible landmark. Therefore, he is a guide. It's like a lighthouse, I guess, but just like a lighthouse. Lighthouse, you put those things on the cliff and you put those things high enough up on a rock so that the ships and the folks coming in off the ocean can see that light. And it is a beacon. It is a landmark so that direction can be given, so that everything can is in proportion, is in relation to this rock. All right. Fourth, he's unmovable. It says in verse 4, "Pull me out of the net that they have laid privily for me, for thou art my strength." Pull me out of the net. All right. If you're going to, this is what I thought about when we read something like that. You got somebody that's trapped in a net. You got somebody that's trapped somewhere. The person pulling that person out is going to have some leverage. You're going to have to be able to get steady and be immovable so that you're not moving when you're trying to rescue them. I mean, if you're falling in trying to rescue, then you're not going to be much help because you both end up in the pit. But somebody that can rescue, somebody that can pull someone out of where they're at, is somebody that is firmly planted and immovable. Someone you could if you were down in this pit, you could lasso a rope around them and you could pull yourself out because they are firmly set. Someone you could stake your deliverance on. Unmovable, verse 4. It says, "Pull me out of the net that they have laid privily for me, for thou art my strength." Unmovable. Verse 5, incorruptible. An incorruptible rock. All of these things are their description of the strength of the rock. Verse 5, he says, "Into thine hand I commit my spirit. Thou hast redeemed me, O Lord God of truth." Into thine hand I commit my spirit. Thou hast redeemed me, O Lord God of truth. He's incorruptible, incorruptible. I think about when I read this, this is as much of, and we could have done it this way too, this is as much what could be called a messianic psalm. I mean, these are words that Jesus Christ also said. This could be the words of Jesus Christ. And I think the more and more I read through the psalms, realize a lot of this is the voice of Jesus Christ. And so we could take it that way, but he's describing an incorruptible fortress. It says, I commit my spirit to you. You've redeemed me. You've bought me out of corruption. And I think about that in the New Testament. He talks about not being redeemed by corruptible things, but incorruptible. You're not purchased with money or gold or silver or something that can rust or decay. You're purchased with an everlasting purchase, the blood of Jesus Christ, incorruptible redemption. So the rock is incorruptible. The rock is durable, verses 7 and 8. It means that it will take a beating and it will last and it will not change its character. He says, "I will be glad and rejoice in thy mercy, for thou hast considered my trouble. Thou hast known my soul in adversities and hast not shut me up into the hand of the enemy. Thou hast set my feet in a large room." All right, so you gave me space to stand up, and you put me in a place where I'm not trying to balance. I'm not trying to walk the tightrope here. You put my feet in a large room. You gave me an ample place to to rest my feet and to be stable. But that dealing with his trouble, dealing with David's trouble, dealing with his soul in adversities, I like the way that David says that. He says, "Thou hast considered my trouble. Thou hast known my soul in adversities." Boy, that is true of David saying that to the Lord, but boy, David is 1,000 years before Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ, boy, he shows up in the flesh, and it's not just a matter of God in heaven knowing adversities. Now it's God in the flesh knowing adversity. So he really knows it. It really could be the voice of Jesus Christ, but it's durable. A rock is durable. It withstands the weather. It withstands the beating it takes, and it never changes its character. Still what it is. What do you say? Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. It doesn't change his character. That is, you know what? That is a good description of long suffering. Someone who suffers long with someone else, but it doesn't change their character. It doesn't change their personality. They're dealing with someone over a time, and they don't change who they are. It doesn't affect them. They suffer a long time without it being affecting their the way they deal with the situation, deal with the people. So all of these things, and maybe you could say it differently in some of these cases, but all of these things, one thing they're dealing with is the strength of the rock and the description of that strength and how the Lord is like the rock or like a rock. So it deals with the strength of the rock. Then in verses 9 through, let's see, 9 through 13, you've got David talking about his trouble. Look in verse 9. It says, "Have mercy upon me, Lord, for I am in trouble. Mine eye is consumed with grief, yea, my soul and my belly, for my life is spent with grief. My years with sighing, my strength faileth because of mine iniquity, and my bones are consumed." You know what that is? That's the opposite of a rock. That's time wearing somebody down. That's corruption setting in. That's life beating up on somebody. And that is someone being beat down and wore out and changing over time. That's the opposite of the rock. But go down to verse 13. He says, "For I have heard the slander of many. Fear was on every side. While they took counsel together against me, they devised to take away my life." That's the voice of Jesus Christ as much as David. But then verse 14, "But I trusted in thee, O Lord. I said, thou art my God." All right, so in the midst of all this trouble, the second thing about all this is David's going to find treasure in this rock. He describes the strength and all of the abilities and the power and the way the rock is the description of it in verses 1 through 8. Now he's going to define treasure in it. The first one is in verse 9. He says, "Have mercy upon me." So he went to the rock and he found a treasure called mercy. Mercy was in the rock. And then he went over in verse 15, he says this, he finds life inside the rock. Verse 15, "My times are in thy hand." You know what that is? That's your time. That's your life. He says, "My times are in thy hand." That is life in that rock. "My times are in thy hand. Deliver me from the hand of mine enemies and from them that persecute me." So one of the treasures, or the second treasure, he found not only does he find mercy in the rock, but he finds life in that rock. He found life in that rock. That is a great description of Jesus Christ. He finds life in that rock. Now he finds this. Verse 16, he finds light in the rock. He says, "Make thy face to shine upon thy servant. Save me for thy mercy's sake. Make thy face to shine upon thy servant." That's light in the rock. I'm going through these quickly. I'm just trying to give you, really tonight, just trying to give you an overview of all of these things. And maybe you can go out and study them yourself or just understand a little bit better about Psalm 31. But I'm giving to you these quickly, and I understand that. I'm not really delving into each of them. So verse 16, light is in the rock. There's shining there. He said, make thy face to shine upon thy servant. That is something that I know I've said it before, but when the Lord, when it feels like this, sometimes you feel like the Lord may have turned his back on you. I don't know if you ever feel that way, but you feel like the Lord's turned his back on you. Man, it doesn't matter what's going on. It's just not good. It doesn't matter if you have things or don't have things. I mean, if you feel that way where the Lord's turned his back on you, not that he has, but not thinking the Lord is involved in something can be, man, that is just, that's gut-wrenching. But on the other hand, and like I said before, when the Lord shines upon you or turns your way, maybe it's hospital, maybe it's just stuff going on, but man, if you can find the Lord in the thing, man, that makes that thing so much easier to go through. If the Lord will shine his face on you in the midst of trouble, man, I mean, it's like, it reminds me of the apostles. You know, they're getting thrown in jail, they're preaching, and they're getting, you know, persecuted and all that stuff, and here they are, they're rejoicing that they were persecuted. You look at that like, what kind of mindset is that? Well, that's a mindset that understands they are doing the work of the Lord and the Lord is with them. And that's all they need is just the Lord to be with them. I just want the Lord to be with me. And whatever the circumstances come with that, whatever the beatings or the whatever things that happen around that, whatever comes with the Lord being involved in it, okay. But man, if the Lord's not involved in it, what are we doing? So David finds a treasure, he finds light. He says, make thy face to shine upon thy servant. Finds light in the rock. Verse 19, he finds goodness in the rock. Says, oh, how great is thy goodness, which thou hast laid up for them that fear thee, which thou hast wrought for them that trust in thee before the sons of men. That is something that was prepared in the rock years and years before anyone found it. You know what, when those machines go in there and start digging and start filtering out the dirt and finding the gold, they're finding treasure that was in there years and years ago. I don't know, not billions, it's not evolution, but just a long time before they got there. Long time before those miners got there. They're just finding treasure that had been stored away in that rock, and the Lord puts that stuff in there and he hides those things in there, and people mine that stuff out and they find treasure in that rock. And just like he says in verse 19, he found goodness in there. He says, oh, how great is thy goodness, which thou hast laid up for them that fear thee, which thou hast wrought for them that trust in thee before the sons of men. He laid up some goodness in there. And then verse 21, there's kindness in the rock. Blessed be the Lord, for he has showed me his marvelous kindness in a strong city. David may not have found kindness in anywhere else. I mean, his friends turn on him sometimes, his family turns on him sometimes, but in the Lord he found kindness. As another treasure, man, he found that kindness in that rock. So he's describing now, after describing the strength that that rock is, the strength that the Lord is, now he's describing mining that rock for treasure, goodness, kindness, life, light, mercy. Just finding all the kinds of treasure that he's getting out of the rock. Now, all of that stuff is well and good. All of that stuff is great, and it's great to know all that. But if you never get to the rock, all of that stuff doesn't matter to you anyway. So here's what he says at the very end. Remember, David writes these songs, and they are as much of a description of the Lord and a description of David's life and circumstances as they are an encouragement to do something now with the things you've heard. So he says this in verse 23. Now he talks about taking hold on the rock. It says, "Oh, love the Lord, all ye his saints." All right, you know the rock is strong. You know there's treasure in the rock. Now it's time to love the rock. You know these things can be found in him. You know he is fully capable of handling and being steadfast and carrying and trustworthy and all those things. You know all that. So now that you know those things, it's time to first, verse 23, "Oh, love the Lord, all ye saints." Now let's do something with it. Love the Lord. Love the rock. Verse 24, or verse 23, we'll read the rest of it. "Oh, love the Lord, all ye his saints, for the Lord preserveth the faithful and plentifully rewardeth the proud doer." Verse 24, trust the rock. Trust it. "Be of good courage, he shall strengthen your heart, all ye that hope in the Lord." All right, be of good courage, he shall strengthen your heart. You trust in the rock. All right, Jesus Christ, and I know we're before Jesus Christ shows up in the body and all that stuff in the Psalms here, but now that you know who God is in the flesh, now that you know who the rock is and what his name is, now it's time to love him. Now it's time to trust him. And here's what, you know, when we don't trust the Lord, this is the thing we always, and Proverbs says it so well. Solomon said it so well in Proverbs. The thing we always lean to is our own understanding. And you hear something, an instruction from the Lord, and you read something in your Bible, and you just know you need to make that correction. But if you don't, it's because you just lean to your own understanding about the thing, and you say, you know what, I probably should do this, but it probably won't be that bad if I don't. You know what that is? That's your own understanding. And Proverbs, Solomon said it in Proverbs, he says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding." So you know how you start trusting in the Lord is you stop leaning on your own understanding. You stop giving yourself advice. And you start taking advice from the Word of God. And you stop giving yourself and listening to what it amounts to really is the old man, the flesh, giving advice that is contrary to revelation from God. God gives a revelation, and then the old man in the flesh has his piece to say. And what that is, that's our own understanding. Or, you know, I've used the illustration before, use it again. Here's a teenager. Mom and dad say, "Do this." Teenager says, "Well, I'm not, I don't want to do that kind of stuff." Or just has that attitude of, "I'm not going to do that." And the attitude is, they just don't understand where I'm coming from. And the attitude more specifically is, I have a better understanding of the situation than mom and dad do. You know what that is? That's the opposite of trust in the Lord and lean not unto thine own understanding. That is someone leaning on their own understanding contrary to the revelation they've been given. So here's David's advice is, you know the rock is strong. You know there's treasure in the rock. So now it's time to love the rock. It's time to trust the rock. Trust him. He's trustworthy. He's not trying to bait you. He's not trying to trick you. Trust him. And then hope in the rock. Be of good courage, verse 24, and he shall strengthen your heart, all ye that hope in the Lord. So hope in the rock. That is really, truly our only hope, If you don't have a hope in Jesus Christ, there is no other hope. There's no other offer. There's no other way to get your sins taken care of. There's no other way to get a body that is incorruptible, that is immortal. There's no other offer. And if you don't trust, if you don't hope in Jesus Christ, and it's not like cross your fingers and hope, it's I trust Jesus Christ, now I'm looking forward to the day that I get rid of this body, I get a body like Jesus Christ's body, and I can live in heaven, and I can enjoy fellowship with God, and I'm looking forward to that day. It's not like I just wish one day, and you know, maybe if this weight works out, or if my good outweighs my bad, or whatever. It's not like that. It's a hope, which is an expectation. Like, I can't wait for this to happen. So he says, hope in the Lord. So three things and three elements of the Lord as the rock. Number one, deals with the strength of the rock. Number two, he deals with treasure that's found in the rock. And number three, he deals with an encouragement and an application to take hold on that rock. The first part of this is all good. The strength and the treasure and all that stuff is good. But if you don't avail yourself of all that strength and all that treasure, then it's not going to do you any good if you don't take hold of the rock.